The Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Shol Ramashi ben Chorish is Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah Baremi. Ramashi ben Chorish asked the question to Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah. Shomati arba chaluke kaporish shohoye Rabbi Shmuel Deirish. Did you hear, perhaps you know, before different groups, the different types of atonements that Rabbi Shmuel expounded on? Omar Shleishahin. He said there are three, and tshuva, repentance, is a key factor in each one. What are they? Over al esei v'shov. If a person transgresses a mitzvah saseh, a positive commandment, and he does tshuva, he repents, he's mischoret al ovar, he's remorseful for what he did, and he's mekabel al ha'oba lahabo, and he accepts upon himself that he will not do this again, and he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive him, then he does not move from that place until he has a complete mechila, a complete forgiveness. This means that forgiveness comes to him immediately. How do we know this? Shenemar shuvu bonim shevavim, as it states in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu Gimel, Shuvu bonim shevavim, that my children, the children who have done wrong, they shall return. And immediately afterwards it states, Varape, and I will cure them. This means with tshuva alone, with repentance alone, it helps. That's a positive commandment. Over aleisaseh, what happens if he transgresses a negative commandment? A negative commandment is more severe than a positive commandment. But also tshuva, and he does tshuva. Tshuva tole. The tshuva helps, but it does not bring him a complete atonement. But the day of Yom Kippur, together with tshuva, brings him a complete atonement. How do we know this? Shneamar ki vayem hazeh yechaper aleichem mikol chateisechem. This day shall atone for you for all of your sins. So we see that there are some averes that tshuva alone is not sufficient, but there also must be the day of Yom Kippurim. That's a second group. A third group, over al krisus u'misus bezdin. What happens if a person transgresses a very severe avera, such an avera that carries with it a punishment of krisus, which means that he would be cut off from his people, or in this world and in the next world, or it carries the punishment of death penalty, capital punishment, but also tshuva. And it's speaking that this is it's not a death penalty which can be brought to him by the Bezdin during the time when there was Torah government in full authorized courts, or for some reason he was never brought to the Bezdin. But also tshuva, and he does tshuva. Tshuva v'yema kippurim tolim. Tshuva helps, and Yom Kippur helps. But that does not make the complete atonement. V'yesurin memarekim. But he must also have affliction. He must also have affliction. Shnemar, as it states, ufakarati b'shevet pishon u'minegoyim aveinam. There's a posuk in Tilim, which David HaMelech writes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will invisit upon the people with the staff and with negoyim, with plagues. So we see that there are some avedas that tshuva is not sufficient, and Yom Kippur is not sufficient. But physical affliction also must accompany the the retribution. Therefore, the tshuva v'yem ha-kippurim tolim, if a person does tshuva, and the day of Yom Kippur comes, so this helps. But the final atonement comes only through yisurin, through physical affliction also. With all three, then he has a complete kapora. Those are the three groups. Now he said there's a fourth group. Avol mi sheyesh chilul Hashem b'yodei. What happens if a person does an aveira, and it's the type of aveira which causes also a chilul Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's name? Rashi tells us, what is chilul Hashem? When he does something that not only does he sin, but he can also cause others to sin, or he takes away from the honor of the name of Hashem, then ain't tshuva teila v'lei b'yem ha-kippurim l'chaper v'lo b'yisurin l'marek. Tshuva will not bring forgiveness, the day of Yom Kippur will not, and even yisurin, even physical affliction, elakulan tolim, they will all help, but it remains in abeyance. Umisim memarekes, and only death to that person will bring the final kapora, the final atonement. Shnemar, as it states in Yeshayahu, v'nigle bo'ozne Hashem tzavokes im yechupar ha'oven hazeh lochem at musum. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I assure you that you will not be cleansed from this sin until the day of your death. So the first three groups are groups which a person can attain a purification from the Aveira in this world. If it's a mitzvah seh, a positive commandment, then with tshuva itself, he immediately is forgiven. If it's a negative commandment, a prohibition, then there must be tshuva and Yom HaKippur, in the day of Yom Kippur. If it's a commandment which is very severe and carries with it the greatest punishments, for example, Krisus or Mrs. Bezdi, that he was to be cut off from his nation, or the death penalty, then tshuva will help and Yom Kippur will help, but there also has to be some type of physical affliction. Those are the three groups which a person can cleanse himself from while he's still alive. But mi sheyesh biyodo chil Hashem, but if he has also desecrated the name of Hashem, then all three of these things will not finalize the atonement, the kapora. There must be tshuva, there must be Yom HaKippurim, and there must be yisurin, physical affliction. But the final kapora will come only when on his day of death. If he does tshuva, and he has the others, then when he dies he will be forgiven, and he'll have a portion in the world to come. But it comes only after his death. This is what the Gemara tells us. From here we see that perhaps the most severe aveira in the Torah, therefore, is chilul Hashem, when one desecrates the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is brought in Halacha. This is brought in Halacha in the Rambam. In the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, Rambam brings these different groups and then writes at the end of the first perek, Bamed Vorim Amurim, when do we say that he will be forgiven during his lifetime? Bishaloi Chil Es Hashem, Bishosho Ovar, that when he did the Aveda and there was no desecration of Hashem's name. Avala Machala Les Hashem, but someone who has desecrated Hashem's name, Afal Pi Shosha Tshuva, even though he does Tshuva, Bihigia Yema Kippurim, and Yom Kippur comes, Buhu Aimed Bichuvosai, and he's a Baal Tshuva, Ubal of Yesurin, and also he has suffered physical affliction, Eina Mishapele Kapore Gemura, he does not have a complete atonement at Shomosh until the day of his death. Avul Tshuva Yema Kippurim, Vyesurin Shleishtin Tolim, The first three keep him in abeyance. Umisim echaperis. And death brings him his atonement, as it states, the Niglea beozne Hashem tzevokes v'geva imechu paraovan azeh lochem atemusim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that would you desecrate my name, you will not be cleansed until the day of your death. So we see that Chilul Hashem is a very, very severe avera. And when it comes to cleansing oneself from that avera, it's the most severe in the entire Torah. Let's spend some time this evening trying to understand what is this avera and what the sages teach us about it. Another source that we have is the Mishnah in Masechet Ovis, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet. Rabbi Yechanan ben Breka Eimer. Yechanan ben Breka said, Kol ha-machalel shem shamayim b'seiser, whoever desecrates HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name b'seiser, secretly, privately, nifroim imenu b'golui, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will extract punishment from him b'golui, openly. Even though he has done the avera, he's desecrated Hashem's name privately, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish him publicly and will make it known what he has done publicly. Echad shegig ve'echad mezid b'chilul Hashem. And in this facet there is no difference if the person did it with intention or if the person did it through error. If he desecrated Hashem's name, it's the same in this facet when it comes to chilul Hashem. This is a second source, and this is something that we find only by Chilul Hashem. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Kedushin, and Daf Mem, Seif Omer Aleph, Omer Rababo, Mishum Reb Chanina. Reb Abo said, in the name of Reb Chanina, Neyech Leila Odom Shiavar Avera B'Seisir, Al Yechalol Shem Shemayim V'Farheshu. It is better for a person to do an Avera where nobody will see him do the Avera than come to the desecration of Hashem's name publicly. And he brings a posuk. Omer Rebbe Loi Azokin said, Imrei Odom Shiyitzrum Mishgaber Olot. If a person sees that the Yetzahora, his evil inclinations, are getting the best of him, and he feels that he wants to do something in particular which he's not allowed to, and he doesn't know if he'll be able to prevail, what should he do? Yelech lemokum shein makirin esoy. He should go to a place where no one knows him. Yilbash chayri. He should put on dark clothing. Mischasish chorim. Cover himself up with dark clothing. V'yasi kemeshe li bechofetz. And there let him do what he wants. V'al yichal shem shemayim v'farheshe. Better than he should do something which he's not allowed to, where people will see him and through this bring a desecration to the honor of Hashem's name. Now Rashi explains, this doesn't mean that he's granted permission to do what he wants as long as he goes out of town. Right? So Rashi explains, if he'll put on shcherim, dark clothing, so he will not yiro atzme bichvede, he won't see himself through great honor and dignity. And perhaps this will soften him. Perhaps this will humble him. And then he won't do the Avera. But even if he does do the Avera, but nobody will look at him. Because to them, they don't know him. He's not important. So they won't look at him. They won't emulate him. He will not be an example. And this is better than desecrating Hashem's name publicly. Then the Gemara tells us, Tanan Hosam, we learned in the Mishnah, Ein Makifin Bechil Lashem. We're not Makif Bechil Lashem. What does the word Makif mean? The commentaries go into it. One of the explanations, it seems somewhat from Rashi and also from the Maral Miprag, that we don't take things and put them together when it comes to Chil Hashem, Echad Shegi VeEchad Mezid, whether it's done inadvertently or whether it's done intentionally. Ma Ein Makifin, what does it mean Ein Makifin? Omar Mazutra Shein Esim Kechenvoni. A storekeeper, when you buy something on credit, he doesn't immediately send you an account for it. He waits till it adds up. Then he sends you an account. For example, he waits till 30 days goes by, or whatever it might be. But each time you buy something, he doesn't send you an account. He's mekifin. This means he brings them all together and wait till it becomes a large cheshbon, a great account, and then he sends it to you. Then he collects. Not so with Chil Hashem. With Chil Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not let it add up. With other averes, yes. If a person does a transgression, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wait. He will not come to collect immediately. When many averes come together, and he brings them all together, then he comes to collect. But with Chil Hashem, not so. This is always distinguished. It always remains by itself. He doesn't let it accumulate or combine it with any others. Mar Berei the Ravina Omar. Mar is the son of Ravina. He said, what does it mean in Makifin? That we do not let it come together. We have a principle that all of mitzvahs are accumulated together and they're weighed up, and all averes are accumulated together and they're weighed up, and then the person's destiny is sealed. And this is what takes place on Rosh Hashanah, on the Aser Shemei Tshuva, and on Yom Kippurim. If the mitzvahs are heavier than the averes, then he has a good fate. Vice versa, he doesn't. What happens, the Gemara says, that if it's even, he has an equal amount of mitzvahs and an equal amount of averes. But amongst the averes, there's an avera of Chil Hashem, where he once desecrated the name of Hashem. Then, he machras. Then the Chil Hashem is not combined together with the other mitzvahs in order that it should weigh evenly. But that tips the scales. Chil Hashem is never reckoned together with other averes. It always stands special. And therefore, if it's even, that will be machria, that will tip the scale. So another source, when it comes to the desecration of Hashem's name. How do we define what Chil Hashem is? From the Gemara and from the Rambam, we see that there are three groups of what Chil Hashem is. This is based, the whole mitzvah is based actually on Psukim in Parshas Emor, where there's a mitzvah asay, a positive commandment, that you shall sanctify my name amongst the people of Israel. And there's a negative commandment of that you shall not desecrate my name amongst the people of Israel. The Rambam brings in the Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah Perkei. In the beginning, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGodol Hazeh. All of Israel are commanded to sanctify the great name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it states, V'nikdashti B'seich B'nei Yisrael. you shall sanctify my name amongst the children of Israel. Umuzharin, and they are commanded, Shalelachalushim, that you shall not desecrate his name. As it states, Veleisechalalu Eshem Kotshi, you shall not desecrate my holy name. The first category the Rambam brings is in regards to if a member of the other nations comes to a Jew and he wants to force the Jew to desecrate the Torah, to do an Aveira. If there are not 10 Jews present, then he's allowed to desecrate the Torah, with the exception of 3 mitzvahs. And that's Gilarayish, because Domin Vaverizor. If he forces him, say, if he tells him, for example, cook for me on Shabbos, say, otherwise I will kill you. So then, the Jew is allowed to cook on Shabbos. If it says, though, that I want you to serve idolatry, or I want you to kill someone else, or I want you to commit an act of adultery or incest, then he's obligated to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, to sanctify Hashem's name, and to allow himself to be killed, and by no means to transgress the Aveira. If he does this, then the Rambam brings, he has sanctified Harezeh Kiddush Hashem, sanctified the great name of Hashem. If it was in the presence of many people, then that's a Kiddush Shem Shemayim Barabim. He sanctified Hashem's name publicly. If he did the Aveira, then he has been Mechalel Shem Shemayim, desecrated Hashem's name. If there are many Jews present, then this is a Chil Hashem Barabim. He desecrated Hashem's name publicly. If the intent of the non-Jew is not to have you transgress the mitzvah for his own benefit, for example, he wants you to cook on Shabbos for him, but his intent is that he wants the Jew to break the Torah, for example, Shabbos, he says, carry these stones for me back and forth. He doesn't need them. Or he tells them, eat this, what you're not allowed to eat, which he has no benefit from. His intent is merely lahavir ala mitzvahs, that you shall desecrate the Torah. Then publicly every mitzvah we are not allowed to transgress, but we have to choose death first. If we do, that's a desecration of Hashem's name. So then there is no difference in that kind of case between the three most severe Averas or all other Averas. If it's Shasak Zera, now till now we're speaking in normal times, but if it's a time of Zera Sa'akum, where the idolaters have come and they have made decrees against the Jews, and they are endeavoring to get Jews to leave the Torah. For example, during the time of the Greeks, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, it was time of Shmad. Or, for example, Shiyamid Melech Rosho Kenuvuchadnetzer Vechaveiroi Veyigzeh Gzeira Al Yisrael Levatel Dosim. Or during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, when they came and they made all types of decrees in order that Jews should not keep Torah and mitzvahs. Then it's Yehorek Val Yavar Afil Al Achas Mishar Mitzvahs. Then we must give our lives for any mitzvah, even Beinei Levein Eivdei Kechovim, even if it's not in the presence of 10 Jews, even if it's just between us and the Goyim. So this is the first category that we are speaking of, where a Jew is forced to go against the will of the Almighty And under certain circumstances, he's allowed to if he's forced. Under other circumstances, he's not allowed to. And he must even give his life if necessary. That is considered vinikdashti or leisechalalu. You have sanctified my name or you have desecrated my name. This is the first category. A second category the Rambam brings this he brings in Halacha Yud Kol ha'eiver midayte belei einis al achas mikol mitzvahs ha'amuris b'teira. Anyone who transgresses any mitzvah in the Torah in a situation where he's not forced to transgress it and b'sheit v'nefesh lahachis, and he transgresses it not because of great temptation, not because he will gain great physical benefit from the transgression, but he transgresses it because he has no concern for the mitzvah. It means nothing to him. Hareze mechalales Hashem. This is a desecration of Hashem's name. What would an example be? Example B would be if the king has a soldier and he commands him to do something, and the soldier goes out and he finds a bottle of whiskey. He gets drunk and he doesn't fulfill the king's command. So the king is very angry, but that's not considered treason. What happens if the king commands the soldier to do something and it's very, very difficult for him? It means that he has to endure a lot of suffering or a lot of hardship, or he might have to spend some money for it, and therefore he tries to get out of it. The king is very angry, but it doesn't constitute treason. What happens if he gives him a command which he's very capable of fulfilling and the soldier does not do it? Not because of these other reasons, not because it was difficult, not because he got involved in a drunken party, not because it cost him a lot of money, but merely because he doesn't want to fulfill the command of the king. That's treason. That's high treason, as far as the king is concerned. That's an act against the king. And that's Chilul Hashem. If it's a mitzvah that we find difficult to do, and that's why we don't do it, it's an aveira. But under many circumstances, it will not be Chilul Hashem. If it's a mitzvah which costs us a lot of money or a lot of effort, and that's the reason why we don't do it, it's an aveira, but not necessarily Chilul Hashem. But what happens if it's an aveira that we can do, we're capable of doing, but we don't do it? Not for any of these other reasons. That this is a desecration of Hashem's name. And this is what is known as lahachis. Lahachis means that actually the person is not fulfilling the command of the king, actually to anger him. He wants to show him that your command means nothing to me. I also am a barabos. I also am someone to deal with, that I do not have to subject myself to your rule. That's lahachis. That's to anger the king. And that's a Chilul Hashem. Lefichoch ne'emar v'shvur sheker v'chalal t'shem Hashem elokecha ani Hashem. Therefore, if a person takes a false oath and he uses Hashem's name, the Torah states, v'chilalto, you have desecrated my name. Because there was no purpose that you had to use my name for your lies. And still you did it. This means that my mitzvahs mean nothing to you. V'im ovar ba'asorah, Now, if he does this type of Aveda in the presence of 10 people, Mi Israel, Harezu Chilas Hashem Barabim, he has desecrated Hashem's name publicly. And the same thing to the contrary. Kol HaPedish Mi Aveda, I also mitzvah Le Mipnei Dove Beilam. Same thing to the contrary. If a person has the opportunity to do an Aveda, he has the opportunity. He has the opportunity to steal. He has the opportunity to make a fortune in business. A very good opportunity, but it's not within the structure of the laws of the Torah. Or he has other such opportunities. And he doesn't utilize the opportunity. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. Now he is not abstaining from this Aveira. He's not abstaining from this Aveira because he has benefit from it. Many times we abstain from our Aveira because we have benefit from it. If we don't do a certain Aveira, sometimes we're beneficial. It helps our reputation. So we'll gain honor in the eyes of people, or whatever it might be. But here he abstains from this Aveira for no benefit whatsoever. He has nothing from it. Not only that, he has great loss by abstaining from this Aveira. But he does it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the king, has commanded him to. He didn't do it because of fear. He didn't do it because he wanted honor. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he shouldn't. For example, Rabbi, by Yosef, with the wife of his master, she constantly tried to entice him. Constantly. And he was away from home. Yaakov was far away, his father. The master wasn't there, Potiphar. Nobody would have known the difference. Yet he refused all the time to listen to her. Why? Because of the decree of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hareze Mekadesh is Hashem. Then this is Kiddush Hashem. This is the sanctification of Hashem's name. So this is a second category of Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem. This has great relevance. The Chofetz Chaim brings Chofetz Chaim Zichrono Livracha brings in the Sefer Chofetz Chaim in his psicho in regards to Loshon Hora. Someone speaks Loshon Hora, which is also from the greatest Aveiras in the Torah. And the Chofetz Chaim makes a calculation that when you speak Loshon Hora, besides desecrating the explicit explicit Aveiras which are written in the Torah in regards to Loshon Hora, also you desecrate many, many other mitzvahs. He makes a cheshbon of 17 negative commandments and 14 positive commandments. And also a person places himself within the four curses which are mentioned in the Torah. So as he lists all of these, in Leisa Sevov, he brings that the Eiver Nami Amasapev and Makabel Belab de Leisechalelu Hashem Kochi. That when someone speaks Loshon Hora, or someone accepts the Loshon Hora, the slandering or besmirching or blackening of another person's name, then also he desecrates this Aveira of Leisechalali, Losechalalu, you shall not desecrate my name. Why? What does this have to do with it? So he quotes our Rambam, and he quotes the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which we will see shortly. He says, because the Rambam tells us that if a person does an Aveira because of a great temptation or because of a great benefit, that's just an Aveira. And the Rambam mentions in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, this means where you'll have some physical benefit from it. person steals, a person commits an act of immorality. All right, he has a physical benefit from it. But when he does an aveira that he has no physical benefit from it, then that's not only an aveira, but that's considered chilul Hashem. And the Gemara in Masechet Tainis and Aches states that in the world to come, all of the animals will gather together and they will ask the serpent, why are you different than all other animals? All other animals only kill because they want to eat. They only harm other animals because they want some benefit from it. But the serpent, you're a wanton, destructive creation. You're a pathological killer. Someone comes near you, you bite him with your poison, whether you're interested in eating or not. And this is a yitzia, this is a deviation from the norm of the world. So in the world to come, when everything will be sorted out, and everything will be put in its proper perspective, the animals will all gather around the serpent and ask, why are you such a deviation, such a yetze min haklal? So the serpent will answer, what are you asking me for? Lech etzel balaloshen, go to man, go to the slanderer. He has the same quality. If someone eats something that he shouldn't eat, someone takes something that he shouldn't take, we can understand why he's doing it. But he who slanders someone else, mahano yeshloi, what kind of physical benefit does he have from it? He has nothing from it. There's just some satisfaction that he's having, which is pathological. So the serpent says, so what are you coming to me for? Go to man. I'm not such an exception to the creation. This is what the Gemara brings. So you see, the Chofetz Chaim says, you see, that as far as the Gemara is concerned, when a person buries someone else with his tongue, he extracts no physical pleasure from it. If he has a pleasure from it, it's a distorted, twisted pleasure. But it's not a straight physical pleasure. So he says, therefore, when someone commits such an aveira, besides the aveira of Lashon Hara, that's also Chilul Hashem. That's not where he is not heeding the command of the king because of a great temptation. There is no temptation. But still he does not heed the command of the king. This is outright merido, this is outright rebellion and treason. This means that Hashem's mitzvahs mean nothing to him. And he says, you see this all of the time. The Chofetz Chaim writes, because if you'll come to someone and you'll tell him, do you know that what you're eating is not kosher? So he'll say, it's not kosher. And immediately he'll stop. And he says, if you come to a man and say, why are you talking like that? It's Lashon Hara. He says, he'll give you 100 reasons why it's not Lashon Hara. And if you'll finally prove to him that it is Lashon Hara, he'll give you 100 reasons why you can't speak Lashon Hara on such a person. And he'll continue speaking it. So he says, you see that this mitzvah means nothing to him. He says, therefore, it's Chilul Hashem. And if others see him speak, and others can learn from him, then it's a Chilul Hashem Barabi. He's desecrating Hashem's name publicly. And if he's an Odom Nichbod, we'll see in a minute that there's a different level of Chilul Hashem. Actually, Chilul Hashem is totally dependent on who is the one who's desecrating Hashem's name. And the greater the person, the greater the Chilul Hashem. He says, if it's a Ben Yeshiva, someone who learns in a Yeshiva, or if it's a Talmud Chacham, then it's even a greater Chilul Hashem. This is what the Chofetz Chaim writes. So this area of Chilul Hashem has a very great relevance to us. It means that whenever a person commits an aveira without temptation, without being forced to by his physical Yetzirah. See, without being forced to by his physical Yetzirah. Then this is not considered merely not fulfilling the command of the king. This is considered rebelling against the king. This is considered an act of treason. This is considered desecrating Hashem's name. That's the second category. There's a third category of Chilul Hashem. Something that's also very relevant to us, very, very relevant. And this, the Gemara says itself. The Gemara that I quoted before brings itself. Gemara says, give us an example of what this Chilul Hashem is, that it's so difficult to atone for it, that we see that no matter what a person does during his lifetime, he'll never have complete atonement. The Gemara says, Omar Rav. Rav was one of the great rabbis of Bavel. Kigain ano, if I, for example, Ishakino Bisra Mitapcho, if I, for example, would go buy meat by a butcher and I would not pay for it immediately, and this is speaking in a place where they do not send accounts out. They expect you to come and pay for it yourself. So if I would go buy meat by a butcher and I would not immediately pay for it, and the butcher doesn't send accounts out, he waits till I'm going to come and pay. He says, that's Chilul Hashem. Kigain ano, if I would. He's not speaking of the regular person. Why? Because till I pay for it, that butcher can think, why hasn't he paid me? Why is he keeping me waiting for my money? Is he waiting, perhaps, till I forget about it? Or is he, in the meantime, using my money? And then he'll start saying, Rav, such a great Talmud Chochem, such a great rabbi. Okay. Is this what he does? Or he might say that if this is what he can do, then I certainly can do it. That's Chilul Hashem. You're desecrating Hashem's name. Abaya, Kirishokol Bisna Mitrei Shutfi, Abaya, when he used to go buy meat by a certain butcher, that there were two partners that ran the butchery. Because of this fear that there shouldn't come out of Chilul Hashem, he used to give a little money to one and a little money to the other. And then afterwards he would bring them together and he would make his account together with both of them. He wouldn't deal just with one, because he was afraid then that since the other one knew that he bought the meat, maybe the other one will think he didn't pay for it. And he couldn't pay both of them the whole amount. So he'd pay a little to one and a little to the other. And then he would bring them together eventually and go through the whole accounts, where he would clear up everything. Rabbi Yechanan Omar, Rabbi Yechanan says, what is Chilul Hashem? Kigain ano. Now Rabbi Yechanan was the great rabbi of the Talmud Yerushalmi. In Yerushalayim, where the Talmud Yerushalmi was written, Rabbi Yechanan was the head. And he was from the greatest sages in Eretz Yisrael at that time. He said, if I would go four amos without Teirah and without Tefillin, that would be a Chilul Hashem. Why? So Rashi says, Rabbi Yechanan would wear tefillin the entire day, and he'd be learning the entire day, or teaching. Sometimes he would be totally fatigued, and he would want to just relax for a few minutes. He says, if I would do that, and other people would see me, That's a chil Hashem. Because lemedin heimeni li vatel mitamot Torah. Because they'll learn from me how to be mavatel, how to waste time from Talmud Torah. They'll say if Rabbi Yechanan can sit, especially in the Beis HaMedrash, and he doesn't have to learn all the time he's in the Beis HaMedrash, so then I also can. So will come a chil Hashem. Rabbi Yitzchok, Yitzchok the Bei Rabbi Yanai Omar, Yitzchok the son of Rabbi Yanai says, Kol shechaveroiv mizbayshin mach mashmuasai. If a Talmud Chacham gains a reputation that embarrasses his colleagues, that's a chil Hashem. When they start talking about a colleague of a Talmud Chacham that's embarrassing, that's a chil Hashem. For example, if they start saying, if this is the way a rabbi should act, or if this is a way a Rosh Yeshiva should act, or if this is a way a Talmud and a Yeshiva should act, and it becomes embarrassing, then that's a chil Hashem. Abaya Omar, Abaya says, Kidisanya, like we learned in the Braisa. The after Eis Hashem Lekecho, it states, the after Eis Hashem Lekecho, you shall love the Lord your God. What does that mean? Doesn't only mean that you shall love Him. It means more than that. Sheshem Shemayim Yisayiv Al Yotcho. It means that you shall cause others to love Him. People make the mistake. They think, after Eis Hashem Lekecho, you shall love the Lord your God. That means you shall love Him. No. It means that you shall love Him and you shall cause others to love Him. How do you cause others to love Him? So the Gemara says, by example. The Gemara was a great advocate of the saying that the best teaching is through example. How? You should sit and learn. You should learn Chumash. You should learn Mishnah. You should go to Yeshiva and be Meshamish Tamidei Chachomim and sit by a Rebbe and learn Gemara. And then, while you're in the Yeshiva, or when you come out of the Yeshiva, and you go into business, Yemaso Yomatnoi Be'amuna, all of your business dealings must be impeccable. Medaber Benachasim Abriyos. And your dealings with people must be with kindness and pleasantness. Mahabriyas Aimras. So what will people say then? They will say, Ashrei Oviv Shalom de Torah. How fortunate is the father of that person that taught him Torah, that sent him to a yeshiva. Ashrei Rabbi Shalom de Torah. How fortunate is the Rebbe of that person that taught him Torah. Oilehem Lebriyas Shalom de Torah. How unfortunate are those people that never had the opportunity to go to a yeshiva, to go to a rabbi to learn Torah. Pleini shalom du Torah ro kama noim drochov. This person you see, he went to yeshiva, and he went to learn. And look how beautiful his ways are. Kama misukoni maisov. See how perfect his deeds are. Olov akosev eimer. And this HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayemeli avodai ato Yisrael asher b'cho espoyer. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says on that person, that you are my servants, which I take pride of. Kodesh Baruch Hu has pride. He's very proud. Who's he proud of? He's proud of those that sanctify his name. That's a Kiddush Hashem. See? He has taught by example to love HaKodesh Baruch Hu's name. V'after Eis Hashem Elokecho, you shall love the Lord your God, Sheshem Shemayim Yisayiv Al Yotcho. That you shall cause others to love Hashem's name. How do you cause others to love Hashem's name? By example. When they see that you learned and you keep mitzvahs, and this is what it brings to, then they also want a portion in the Torah and in the mitzvahs and in Hashem. What happens though? The Gemara says, plainly, Someone who went and he learned Chumash, he learned Mishnah, he went to Yeshiva and learned Gemara. And his dealings are not upright. And he does not speak kindly and pleasantly to the people. What do people say on him? How unfortunate is this person that he went to learn Torah? You see, he went to a yeshiva, and look what came from him. He studied Torah for so many years, and look what it did. Evidently, Torah is not that effective. How unfortunate his father is who sent him. His father spent so much money on him to send him to the best yeshivas and to the best rabbein. And every month sent him a big check to make sure that he would be comfortable and he wouldn't have any other worries so he could sit and learn Torah. The people will say, how unfortunate his father is, because all of his money was wasted. Of time and of energy trying to teach him Torah. And look what came of it. How unfortunate his Rebbe is that wasted all of their time on him. Plainly, people will say, you see that person, he went to a yeshiva, he studied Torah, and look how bad his ways are. Look how unpleasant, how repugnant is his conduct. Olova kosev aimer. On that, the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is not my nation. These people are the people, these are not the people that I want. This is Chilul Hashem. That's the third category. And the Rambam brings this. He brings this at the end of the Perek of Yisodi HaTorah. And he states, Yesh Dvorim Acherim Shehen Bechlal Chilul Hashem. There are other things also which are also inclusive in the desecration of Hashem's name. V'hu She'ase Eisom Odom Godel B'teiro Mufursim B'chassidus. And that's when a great person in Torah, or a person who is known for his chassidus, is known for his righteousness, he will do something shahabriyas merananim achrov vishvilom that will cause people to talk about him. Vafalpisha einon averus, even though they are not averus. Now this is a very important underlying statement. Many times we do something and we say it doesn't make a nice reflection, doesn't make a nice impression, and we answer, so what? It's not an avera. It's not an Aveda. The Rambam says, Afal Pisha Einon Avedas. Even though they are not Avedas. And his Raya's proof is from the Gemara. Because the Gemara is speaking on cases that are not Avedas. When he bought meat from the butcher, when Rav, he never had in mind not to pay him. He certainly is going to pay him. So he wasn't doing anything that was wrong. Even though they are not Avedas, this is a desecration to Hashem's name. The Chofetz Chaim that I quoted before, he emphasizes this point. And he says, now think of what the desecration of Hashem's name is if a ben yeshiva, ben Torah, someone who learns in a yeshiva or someone who had the opportunity to learn Torah, he speaks Lashon Hara when other people listen to him. He says, if the Rambam brings that if someone like this does something which is not an Aveira, it's still Chilul Hashem, and that the Gemara says that there's no kapora, there's no atonement during the lifetime of a person. So if someone does an Aveira like Lashon Hara, which is perhaps from the greatest Aveiras in the Torah, which causes a Chilul Hashem, it causes others, like Rashi says, Chetu Machti Acherim, causes others to learn from him. Okay. So how much more so? He brings, for example, he buys and he doesn't pay immediately in a place where they don't collect, they wait for you. Or for example, if you have someone who's a great individual and he's frivolous, supposed to be happy. Not long ago we gave a shiur on Simcha. But he's frivolous, he's lightheadedness. Or you always see him at parties. Spends his time all the time with parties. Or he speaks to people harshly. And he does not greet everyone with joy. He's a person who's always involved in fighting with people. He's always getting angry at people. These type of things. Now this type of Chilul Hashem is not the same when it's committed by different people. This act is dependent on who has committed the act. It's all dependent in the greatness of the individual. A person is greater, the greater the person, the more careful he has to be. Then he says to the contrary. I remember once in my hometown in Minneapolis, the great Ponovitz Rov, Zechut Tzadik V'Rocha, that so many people in South Africa know or knew, he once came into the city and a few of the Rabbonim went to meet him at the airport, and it was a Friday and the plane was delayed. It was delayed for many hours and it landed just about an hour before Shabbos. And the airport was on the other side of the city where the Jewish neighborhood was. And it was about a 45-minute ride, a 50-minute ride to the Jewish neighborhood. So they rushed him right into the car and they started to make a dash for the Jewish neighborhood. And the Ponovitz Rov became very nervous and he said, It's getting close to Shabbos. They said, don't worry, we'll make it. They went a little further, it's getting close to Shabbos, don't worry, we'll make it. Then he started to cry. And they said, what are you crying for? He says, Yidin ved lernen from mir. He says, Jews will learn from me. He says, they'll see that I'm driving so close to Shabbos. He wasn't certain what time it was or exactly. They told him it's a long way. He says, they'll learn from me ahead, and they'll learn how to be mezalzel. They'll learn from me not to give proper honor to Shabbos here, driving on the other side of the city, Erev Shabbos. And he started to cry, and they had to stop the car. So they said, well, you can't stop here. There's no, where are you going to stay? This was the completely non-Jewish area. He says, I don't care where I'm going to stay. Stop the car. They stopped the car. And one of the Rabbonim got out with him, and the others went on. And he was happy. And they started to walk. Eventually they came to the Mount Sinai Hospital, the Jewish hospital, which was on that side of the city. And there he spent Shabbos. He was afraid that they would see him, the Ponovitz Rov, coming through the streets 5 minutes before Shabbos. This he didn't want. This he held was a Chilul Hashem. So hakol lefi godli shel chochem sorach shiyidaktei kal atzmai. All in accordance to the greatness of the person, this is how he has to conduct himself. V'yaseh lifnim meshuras hadin, and he must go beyond the law. V'chein im diktei kachochem al atzmai v'hoye diburi benachas im abriyas. And the same is to the contrary. If the chochem, if the sage, speaks kindly to people, and he mingles with the people, and he always accepts them with great joy, and he doesn't go to insult them. He gives honor to them, even to the lightest of them. He does business with integrity. You don't find him all the time at parties. You see him only learning Torah with tzitzis, with tefillin, doing mitzvahs, but not to the point where he completely divides himself from the people. And everyone therefore praises him, and they all love him. Umisavim lamaisov, and they want to emulate his deeds. Hareisa kiddush Hashem. This is the sanctification of Hashem's name. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayemele avodei ato Yisrael Hashem b'chores poyah. That these are my servants, which I take pride in. The morale brings that there are four different levels that the Gemara is referring to that we quoted. The first level was, and that was Rav, he held that even if you do nothing wrong, but if you just bring yourself to suspicion and you're a great person, that's a Chilul Hashem. Because what he did was nothing wrong. He brought meat. He had a right not to pay immediately. He had a charge account, a credit account. And he's going to pay. But during that time, the other person could start thinking about him. Then that's a Chilul Hashem. The next level, which was Rabbi Yochanan, he held not like that. He said that not when you do nothing wrong except you bring yourself to suspicion, but when you do something which is wrong with very little. For example, he's sitting by his Gemara and he's not learning. Or for Rabbi Yochanan, not to be wearing his tefillin. So there is something wrong. But it's very, very small, especially under those circumstances he was allowed to. So that's what he held was Chilul Hashem. The third level held that Chilul Hashem is not when you do something which the act itself is not a bad act, except people might think that. But you have to do something which is already disgraceful. Bad conduct. See. And that's the third opinion. And that's what he said, Kol shechaveroi mizbaishin meimenu, when his colleagues become embarrassed over his behavior. And the fourth level is speaking not where he necessarily does something bad. Not where his conduct is actually bad. But if his conduct is not good, it's not impeccable, it's not perfect, then this is Chilul Hashem. Because of the individual. Because of the individual. So these were the four levels. And you see the Rambam brings all of them and considers this all in the category of Chilul Hashem. So we have three levels, three categories of what Chilul Hashem is. And the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos in Leisa Se Samach Gimel and in Essay Tes, the Rambam brings this and he writes explicitly there are three categories of the Chilul Hashem. The first category where someone is forcing you to go up against the name of Hashem, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second category where you choose to do an Aveda from your own accord, but not because of any temptation, not because of any physical benefit derived, but only because the mitzvah means nothing to you. This is a great chil, a great desecration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs. And the third category, he says, when an Odom Nechbot, a great person, does things afal pi shehein einon averus, when he does something which are, even though they are not averus, but abrius meraninis alov, but will bring people, who will bring him a bad name or a bad reflection amongst people, then that's a Chilul Hashem. The Maral in his commentary on Ovis tells us a few principles. Firstly, he says the definition of Chilul Hashem is the Bitul Kfeida Yisborach, is the dishonoring of the name of Hashem. That's the definition of Chilul Hashem. when you do an act, whether it's the act of the first category or the second or the third, but what it all adds up to, you are dishonoring the name of Hashem. And he says that's why in the Mishnah in Ovis, the previous Mishnahs are speaking, Al tievoz l'chol odom, you should not insult any man. The Mishnah after that states, Havishpal ruach, a person should be very humble. And then it comes to this Mishnah, because we are speaking about honor, kovod. What kind of kovod should you extend to other people? You shouldn't insult them, you should give them honor. What kind of kovod should you give yourself? No, you must be humble. And now this Mishnah speaks about the kovod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What kind of kovod should you give to Hashem and to the name of Hashem? And that's the greatest kovod in the world. So therefore, when you do something that will eliminate his kovod in the world, this is the great aveira of Chilul Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kfeidei molei olam. His honor spreads to the entire world. And on everything he created, he created for his honor. He created so his name should go throughout the world. Whatever you do, that will detract from that honor, then that falls into the category of Chilul Hashem. If you will do something that will add to that honor, then that is Kiddush Hashem. That's the first principle. A second principle, why do we find that it states Echod Sheigig Vechod Mezi? There's no difference if the person did it without intent or with intent. Now he said it doesn't mean that the seriousness of the Aveir is the same. It certainly is not. Because naturally someone who disgraced Hashem's name with intent, that's much more serious than someone without intent. But it means in regards to these ramifications that it states HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to demand retribution from him begolui, publicly. Why is there no difference? Because when you do an aveira against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, actually you're not doing anything to harm him. If you don't keep Hashem's mitzvahs, you're not harming Hashem. But if you disgrace his honor, then you are harming him. You are harming his honor. Because he created the world in order that his honor should go through the entire world. And you are detracting. You are eliminating that. And there is no difference in this, whether you did it intentionally or you did it unintentionally. You still took away from his honor. It would be, for example, like we find that if someone, Cholila, he kills someone, so the Torah gives him a punishment even if it's unintentionally. He has to go to the Ori Miklat, he has to go to the city of refuge. Why? The person was killed. Or if you damage property, you have to pay for it, whether it was intentional or unintentional, because it was done. So the same thing, if you do an Aveda against Hashem, that really doesn't affect Hashem. But if you detract from his honor, this does. Why is it that it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and openly extract punishment and retribution when his name is desecrated? Firstly, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like to punish people unless it is known why they are being punished. Because that itself is a Chilul Hashem. If it looks to the world that the righteous are being punished, that itself desecrates Hashem's name. People start to say that there's not a just God in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ayiv Mishpat. He loves justice. So therefore, when someone desecrates his name, he will create a situation where it will become known that he has desecrated his name. And then it will become known also why he's being punished. Secondly, the Mechilta tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is sanctified when the evil are desecrated, when the evil are punished. For example, by Paray desecrated Hashem's name. When Moshe and Aaron came to Paro and he said that Hashem said that you should send the Hebrews out, he said, "Mi Hashem asher eshma ilecho? Who is Hashem? Who is this God that I have to listen to him? I am a greater sovereign than he is." This was the ultimate in Chil Hashem, the desecration of the honor of Hashem's name. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "You desecrated my name. Through you, my name will be sanctified. Because I will bring such a mapolo, such churban, on you and on Egypt and on all of your people, that the whole world will know who I am because of you and because of Egypt. And I will not kill you immediately, because then they will not know. I will keep you alive, Isalalti. I will keep you alive so I can be masachek, so I can sport with you, so the whole world will know who I am. Shomu amim yirgozun, chilocha jeshvei peloshes. All of the nations heard what happened to Paray and what happened to Egypt, what Hashem did to them. His name became known forever. Until Paro himself said, Hashem HaTzadik. He admitted that God is the righteous. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Mapolo and Churban to the Rishoyim, then is Niskadei Shemai. His name becomes great and sanctified. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that someone who's Mechalal my name, he'll desecrate my name, not only will I bring retribution to him, but publicly, through him, my name will be sanctified. And then there's one final, very important principle that the Maral tells us. We must understand, what does it mean, a name? The Torah writes, Le'sechalalu eshmi, you shall not desecrate my name. A name, in the eyes of the Torah, is not merely a name. When Avraham was told to go from his father's home and go into Lech Lecho, go to Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him certain brachas. One of those brachas were, Ba'agad lo shmecho, I will make your name great. That was one of the three brachas that he promised Avraham if he'll leave his father's home and go to a land which he didn't know of before. Ba'agad lo shmecho, I will make your name great. We see a name as something. The Gemara tells us, Hashem meir ala etzem. The name defines the essence. And the Mishnah tells us even more. The Mishnah tells us, Shleish Ksorim, Nitnu Yisrael. Yisrael were given three crowns. They were given a crown of Torah, a crown of Kohuna of priesthood, a crown of Malchus of kingship. They were given Torah, priests, and kings. Bekeser Shem Tov, Ola Al Gabehem. But the crown of a good name, that's greater than all. The greatest crown that a person has is his name. And we see it by Avraham Avinu when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Va'agad l'shemecha, I will make your name great. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a brocha, it's a brocha. Who doesn't know of Avraham Avinu? Thousands of years since Avraham died. Who doesn't know of Avraham? His name went throughout the entire world. Not only throughout the entire world in his generations. For all generations, his name went out through the entire world. This is what a name means. The greatest asset and the greatest attribute that a family can have, that a person can have, is a Shem Tov, a good name. Ola al gabei, greater than all of the crowns. From here, incidentally, we can see another reason why the Torah was so severe when it came to Lashon Hara. People many times say, what am I doing wrong? I didn't take money from him. I didn't hit him. I only besmirched his name. I only spoke against, said words against him. But meanwhile they have blackened his name. They have besmirched his reputation. This is the greatest attribute that a person has, the greatest crown of a person. And therefore the Maral says that when you desecrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, then you better be careful. Because that's not an Aveira that stays at a low level. That's an Aveira that hits at the very, very highest level. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that when you, by Laisisha, Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashov, do not use my name in vain. There also it states, that this is a Chilul Hashem, because this is a desecration to my name. The Aveira of Chilul Hashem reaches to the crown of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It reaches to the level of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Mida Kenegan Mida. HaKadosh Baruch Hu strikes back the way the person acts. Nifroi Meimenu Begolui. He will not give him a punishment privately. He will give him a punishment publicly, where this man's name will also be affected. You took honor from my name, then I will take honor from your name. Therefore, Rabbi Yechon Membreka Eimer, Kol HaMachalo Shem Shemayim B'Seser, whoever desecrates Hashem's name privately, Nifroi Mimenu Begolui, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will extract punishment publicly. Echot Shegig Vechot Mezid B'Chilul Hashem, and in this facet there is no difference if it's intentional or unintentional. Now we can see some light in the Gemara and Masech Teseita. The Gemara says, Yosef Kiddushem Shemayim B'Seser. Yosef sanctified Hashem's name privately. How? With the wife of Potiphar. The wife of Potiphar, nobody saw the greatness of Yosef, because no one knew about it. Only Yosef and the wife of Potiphar. And he could have very easily committed the Aveira, and also no one would have known about it. And like the Rambam said, for no other reason, and it wasn't easy. The fact is, the Medrash brings that a Matronisa, a very great Roman noble woman, once came to one of the rabbis, and she said, are we expected to believe that? That here was Yosef, an unmarried young man, in a land thousands of miles from his home, where no one has any supervision over him whatsoever. He had no one to be ashamed of. In the land of Egypt, which is Mole Zima, which is full of incest and immorality. And here this noble woman, his master's wife, is offering him everything for this act. She said, are we expect to believe that he actually refused? This, she couldn't believe it. So the Gemara says, Yosef Kiddush Hashem Shomayim B'Seser. He sanctified Hashem's name privately. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him? He added a letter to his name. It's written Yehosef, a Vav. An extra Vav was given to Yosef. Why that letter? Because that letter is from Hashem's name. He gave him the Vav of his name. You gave honor to my name, then I will give honor to your name. I will take a letter from my name and put it in yours. And Yosef was written with a Vav. Yehuda Kiddushem Shemayim Barabim. Yehuda sanctified Hashem's name publicly. When did he do that? He did it twice. He did it by Tomor, Tzotko Mimeni, that when he was confronted that they wanted to take Tomor and they wanted to burn her because she was pregnant with two children, and they came to Yehuda and she said that the one who owns these things, he is the father. And at that time the Medrash says that Yehuda didn't know what to answer because it was him, and if he admits to it, it'll be a tremendous scandal. The name of Yehuda was known as the king of all of the brothers of Yaakov Avinu, because from Yehuda was supposed to come royalty. He was the leader. And if he would admit, he would scandalize his name, and this could destroy all of the royalty. So he had all kind of reasons why he should not admit, and nobody knew. If he does admit, then he's finished. And all the royalty is finished. And all of the future of Klal Yisrael is finished. But he said, that's no cheshbon. Ain't chochma ve ain't funa keneged Hashem. There is no wisdom and there is no understanding when it's against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a very important principle. The greatest chochma and the greatest reasoning is all good when it goes in accordance to the Torah and accordance to Hashem. But the greatest reasoning and the greatest wisdom, if it's against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom, ain't chochma ve'ain tfuna keneged Hashem, there's no such thing. And he said, better that I shall ruin my name and ruin my lineage and even the future of Israel than cause the death of an innocent woman. And she was an orphan. She had no one to take care of her. And he said, therefore, Tzotko Mimeni, she is righteous. I am the guilty party. And the Medrash says, you were willing to ruin your name, to sanctify my name, and publicly, what reward did he receive? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will not give you one letter like I gave Yosef. I will give you my full name. In Yehuda are all the letters of Hashem's name. The Yud and the He and the Vav and the He. All of us his letters. And again he sanctified Hashem's name on the sea. When they came to the Yam Suf, to the Red Sea, and nobody wanted to go in because it was a raging sea and it was the blackness of night and Pare and his armies were coming from behind and they panicked. And even Moshe started to cry to Hashem. Hashem said, Matitza Kalai, what are you panicking for? And Yehuda jumped in. It was the seed of Yehuda, Nachshon ben Amidodov. His seed jumped in and he said, Hashem Yimlech Le'ailom Voed. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu reign forever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you made me the king over the sea. Then from you will come the kings of Israel. And from these two acts came the kings of Israel. Because from the woman that he saved, she gave birth to Peretz. And Peretz was an ancestor of David HaMelech. And when he thought that he would have destroyed his lineage by saving his name, came out just the contrary. By destroying his name, he saved his lineage. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yehuda Shekideh Shem Shemayim Befarhesya, you sanctified my honor. You showed that my honor comes before your honor. My honor comes before your name. Then not only will I give you one letter, I will give you my whole name. And therefore Yehuda is written with the letters of Hashem's name. because these acts reach to the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every Jew must realize that we carry Hashem's name. In the tefillos of the Yom Tovim, in the Atav V'Chartonu, we say as follows: Atav V'Chartonu Mikol Amim, or After Eisonu V'Ratzis Abonu. You have chosen us from all of the nations. You have loved us. You have desired us. V'Remamtonu Mikol Alishenis, and you have raised us up over all of the peoples. V'Kidashtonu B'Mitzvisecho, you have sanctified us with mitzvahs, with your mitzvahs. V'Keraftonu Malkeinu L'Avedeisecho, you have brought us close to your service. V'Shimcha HaGodol V'HaKodesh Oleinu Koroso, and your great and sanctified name you have placed on us. Every Jew carries the name of Hashem. He's called a Yisrael because for Isa Im Elakim, from Yaakov Avinu, who fought with Hashem, who fought with the angels, who ruled. This is why he is called Yisrael. We don't always remember that. The Goyim remember it, because the Goyim are constantly, many of the nations of the Goyim try to eliminate the Jew, to destroy the Jew. And actually the name Jew, where does it come from? The name Jew comes from Yehuda, Yud. This is how it says, it's said in foreign languages, the Yudin. Because the Jews were called Al Shem Yehuda. And there's a Chazal. Why were the Jews called on the name of Yehuda? That's one son of Yaakov Avinu. There were 12 sons. And in the Megillas Esther, there they are called only by Yehuda, Yehudim. And the Chazal say why? There's a simple reason. Because the Jews' object and responsibility in this world is to carry Hashem's name and to sanctify it. And Mordechai, this is what Mordechai did in Purim. He refused, even at the threat of death, to bow to Haman. And this came from Yehuda. Yehuda was the one who sanctified Hashem's name, and therefore Hashem gave him the name. This is where the Jew comes from. And the Gemara says, why are the Goyim, why is Esav and the Goyim always trying to kill the Jew? Because whoever hates HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates the Jew. They don't hate the Jew. They hate the God of the Jews. And they know as long as there's a Jew in the world, then there's a testimony that there's a God in the world. Hitler's design was that if he could eliminate Jews, then there's no God in the world. Haman's design was, if he could eliminate Jews, there's no God in the world. This means a Jew constantly carries the name of Hashem Yisborach. He is an ambassador of a king, of the Melech Malchei Amalochim, the king of all kings. He is his royal ambassador. And therefore, he must be very careful how he acts. When an ambassador of a state comes, he has to be very careful with protocol, lest he does something which reflects on the honor of the throne, the honor of the state. So is it with every Jew. And especially in our times. You know, we live in times when the advertisement and public relations industry booms. Billions are spent throughout the world when it comes to public relations advertisements. Except a good deal of it is sheker, is false. We Jews, we were given, also given, a role of public relations, of promotion. But not to promote ourselves, not to promote our own interests, and not to promote other interests, but to promote HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mole Eilam Kfeidei. He wants his honor to be throughout the entire world. And he said that everything that I created has my name on it, and I created it all Bishvil Kfeidi, for my honor. He wants his honor to be known in the world, and he wants people to come and to be his servants in the world. And he gave the specific task of promotion of this honor to Klal Yisrael, even to the Goyim. The Rambam brings that we are obligated to teach the Goyim their seven mitzvahs. This is our obligation. We are obligated to promote Hashem's name and Torah through the entire world. And therefore, when someone does a mitzvah and others see it and they say how great this person is, how great his God is, Hareze Kiddush Shem Shemayim, he has sanctified Hashem's name. If someone is a great person and people emulate him and they want also to be like him, and this brings them closer to Torah and mitzvahs, Hareze Kiddush Shem Shemayim. To the contrary, if someone does something which people say, I want no part of it, if this is Torah, if this is mitzvahs, if this is God, I want no part of it, then this is Chilul Hashem. In our generation, it's very important, because so much of the world doesn't know of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so many Jews do not know of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're living in a generation where multitudes of Jews are like, were like captives amongst other nations, that they never knew of this. And they have to be brought closer. The Rambam brings in Hilchas Mamrim, we're supposed to bring them closer and show them the way. And therefore every Jew must remember that with every act he has the possibility of bringing great honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is what the Gemara tells us, that there are three Chalukei Kapora, three divisions of Kapora, where a person can atone for himself in this world. Some by tshuva alone, some by tshuva in Yom HaKippurim, and some with tshuva in Yom HaKippurim and affliction. But mi sheyesh lechila Hashem b'yodai, but someone who has done something which will take the honor away from the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, that does not bring people closer to him, but makes people go further away from him, then even though if he has tshuva, and even if he has Yom HaKippurim, and even if he has affliction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not until the day of his death will he have a complete atonement. We should be zeicher to be cognizant of our responsibility, of the responsibility that was given to our nation from Avraham Avinu downward, to bring honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in the world. As he said, V'shimcha HaGodol HaKadosh Oleinu Koroso, that he has given us his great an honorable and sanctified name. We should be zeicher to see the sanctification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in the world, the great crown of Torah, of his Torah, rise in the world. And we should all be zeicher, all of us here, and call Beis Yisrael to a Gemar Chasim Teva, a year of Brocha and of Shalom.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.yjj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.